Here, let's pray for Josh. Lord, we just thank you so much for Josh. We thank you, Lord, that you've just deposited in him just awesome history with you, Lord. Encounters with you, the well that you've dug in him, Lord, we just pray that we would just benefit of it this morning. I just pray that the words would just come easy, Lord, as clear as mine. We just pray, Holy Spirit, you come as the teacher through Josh. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Paul was praying, I don't know why, I just got emotional for some reason. And I was just thinking about, I was like, Lord, why am I getting emotional? 5-10 minutes before I came up here, just in the full swing of life, my little bundle of joy, Micah, is, you probably heard her screaming in the back a little bit and chasing her around. And then I'm trying to, you know, do the timeout thing and get it together. And this thought's going through my mind, God, I'm supposed to be doing this really good message today. I'm supposed to be like preaching to the people. I can't be back here chasing this kid around. I got to get focused. I got to get dialed in. You guys are laughing because you may have been there before, right? I'm like, and the Lord is just showing me the sweetness of life with him. I don't have to compartmentalize. This is my Josh parenting time, and then I gotta have my hour with God where I'm really just dialed into God, and then I got my business time. It's like, no, I get to have life with Jesus in the chaos of my 2-year-old crying in my face. In the time yesterday, I was trying to sit down and just get my thoughts together, and Brennan, the little, we have a 5-month-old, for those of you who don't know, he's just in that phase now where he just needs a face. You know that phase where he's fine, his diaper's changed, he's not hungry, but as soon, I mean, I got my Bible out, I'm trying to look over my notes, and he's in his little bouncy thing, and I'm looking at him, and he's loving life, and then I do this. And he goes, so screaming. I'm like, oh, okay, buddy. Okay, daddy's got to get back to the Jesus stuff now. And he loses it. Like, half. I was like, okay, Lord, what is going on right now? Again, it's like, we have life with Jesus. He is alive and well inside of his spirit is within us. When we're busy, he's still in us. When I don't have time to go over my notes, he's still alive and well in me. He's not disappointed. He's not face palming, saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe he didn't get his Bible quota in today. Oh, how am I ever going to speak to him now? Oh, the people are going to be so disappointed because his son was interrupting his precious study time. Do you think our Father is talking like that? And I think that's why I was emotional, because I was like, man, I just feel so scattered and I feel like a mess. And I just felt the pleasure of God in my mess. Guys, some of you just need to stop and feel the pleasure of God in your mess. Because I can guarantee you, 2020 is going to have some messes. I don't know what it is. We think we have a new year and it's like, okay, everything is going to be fine and dandy. No, there's going to be some messes. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some blessing. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some testing. There's going to be some sweet times. But we have to stop and enjoy God in the middle of our mess, in the middle of our tests, in the middle of our blessing, in the middle of our chaos, in the middle of all the things that I think I've done that disappointed him. Stop and feel his pleasure. That's the kind of Father we have. We have a Father who delights in us in our mess. And I think that was what was happening. Paul's praying for me. I'm not really dialed in. I'm like, Lord, I need to have more. And then I just felt his pleasure. So I'm just going to pray that just real quick. I know we've already prayed, but I just feel like that's not even anything I'm planning on talking about, but I think there's something there. So Jesus, we just take time right now. We just take time right now to feel your pleasure. I don't know how you do that. Maybe it's a deep breath. Maybe it's lifting your head. Maybe it's putting your hands out. But Lord, this first Sunday that we have together in 2020, we just want to stop. And whatever it is, whatever the circumstances that our life have brought to church this morning, we stop and we choose to feel your pleasure over our lives. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Is that good? Anybody need that? Need a little bit of that in your life? Good, good. I did. I had a word this morning. I was praying with Lonnie. It's so cool. If you want to hear a word from the Lord, I know get along with him and you know be in his presence. So, but I encourage you to hang out with Lonnie a little bit. Something just stirs up when you're around Lonnie. It's so good. He's just a super prayer warrior. Name given to him by God, right? Not intercessor, prayer warrior. I love that. Anyway, we were hanging out, and as we were talking, a news story was brought to my memory, I guess. And we were hearing about this local teenage girl who's going to be on Food Network show, a baking championship show. Have you guys heard of this girl? She's like 13 or something, eighth grade, 12 or 13. Has a passion for baking. Ever since she was like three, she's been baking. And then I was like, this is interesting. This girl's going to be on Food Network. I go check out her Instagram. I'm like totally stalking this girl. See like how she got from 3 years old to 13 now on Food Network. And there was this little story in there. And just I thought about that. And I feel like there's a word for our church, for us as individuals. She said, I started baking when I was a young age. And my dad got me this really fancy baking book or whatever. And every Thursday, they would pick out one of these elaborate cakes and they would do it together. So she's baking these cakes, is practicing, learning all the skills, because I guess different skills and different icings and whatever. And after the cake was made, they would go to their neighbors and their community and just bless neighbors with the cake. And I'm like, and now, she's on Food Network star, doing even another step in her dream. And in the meantime, she started a little Instagram business, 13-year-old girl. You can request certain cookies for certain events from this girl, cupcakes that she will do. And I just thought about that for a second. I'm like, this girl, every Thursday, I'm just thinking of the efficiency of that setup. She's spending quality time with her mom and dad, learning a skill, creating delicious cakes, blessing her neighbors, starting a business, and going on Food Network star. Like, that is crazy to me that one single thing of, like, I want to bake a cake can turn into this all-encompassing, life-touching thing. And I feel like that's the word for us this year, that the Lord is going to be bringing things in our lives like the cake baking, and it's going to be touching our neighbors, and it's going to be thriving our businesses, and it's going to be blessing our community. And we're going to just say, oh my gosh, I never thought I would ever have the time to do this. And somehow relationships are going to be, keep on getting deeper. You see how that happens? It's like, it's crazy to me. Like, I never would have thought, oh wow, I can bake a cake and spend time with my children and bless my neighbor and start a business. All from this, that is like the efficiency and the power of God at work. So I think that's for some of you. Some of you just, your lives just feel like chaos. I feel that way sometimes. And I just feel like there's an efficiency coming to your lives where you're going to see this one thing God allows to bring it all together. And you believe that maybe I can't be a good parent. I can't spend enough time with this, and I can't bless my neighbor, and I can't run my business. There's no possible way for me to do it all. And God says, yes, there is. Submit it to him, and you will see some beautiful stuff come out of whatever that circumstance is. So I know we're not all bakers here, but I feel like that word applies. Can I get an amen? Is that good? Does that make sense? Good. Well, I do want to talk about 2020. I know, surprise, surprise. It's been a hot topic this year. 2020 vision. Anybody heard the words about 2020 vision for the new season? You've heard about it? No, you haven't heard it? No, you've been living under a rock, bro. I heard you talking about it. 2020, and I'm like, all right, well, I can get on board with that. Travis, at our Wednesday night dinner, he was sharing. He's like, remember that? For those of you that were here, he said, there's one thing that we can do that will answer all of our questions, that will supply all of our needs. Remember this? And he said, what is that one thing? And he said, see Jesus as he is. Remember that? I was like, that's so profound. See Jesus as he is. See Jesus as he is. And that kind of got, you know, my mind going. And I've been asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, I'm going to see you as you are. Reveal yourself to me, Lord. You guys ever pray that prayer? Reveal yourself to me, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to see you as you are. So we're going to get into the Bible now. I got to get my notes out. If you guys are going to turn to Mark, I thought of the story. You guys heard that story when Jesus visited his hometown? It's Mark 6. Mark 6, and I'll just start at verse 1. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done at his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among the relatives in his own household. And he could not do mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled at their unbelief. And he went about other villages teaching. You can read that same story. I believe it's in Luke. And it's in Luke where he actually unfolds the scroll of Isaiah. Goes in that story is right before he goes into his hometown. He goes into the synagogue and it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news. And he says, this scripture is being fulfilled in your presence right now. It's the same story, just to add that little bit there. You guys know what I'm talking about? Jesus, the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, is revealing himself to his hometown. Right? He's revealing himself to people who had become familiar with him as the carpenter's son, right? And I started processing that. How many times, Lord, have you stepped into my life to reveal yourself to me? Because I believe it is the Lord's responsibility. It is the Father's responsibility to reveal himself to his kids. If I don't make an effort to reveal myself to my children, to spend time, to do the stuff with my kids, they're never going to know me as a joyful, protecting, loving dad. They're just, you know what I'm saying? It's my job. Brennan, I can't expect Brennan to walk down here at 5 months old and say, hey, Dad, I really want to get to know you. Let's hang out. I really, you know, tell me about your heart. What are some of your passions? Can you imagine? He's not, my son can't do that. But I can reveal a smile to him. I can reveal that I'm strong and I can pick him up. I can reveal that I'm pretty good at changing a diaper. You know, like it's my job to reveal to my son who I am and who he belongs to. And I believe that's what Jesus is doing here. He's revealing to the people in his hometown, yeah, what you said is true. I am the carpenter's son, but there's more to it. And I feel like sometimes it's not so much that we have an incorrect understanding of Jesus. We have an incomplete understanding of Jesus. And I feel like for so long, we have held on to that statement, he's just the carpenter's son, when he is revealing himself to you as the Spirit is upon me. I am the Messiah. I am who Jesus, you guys following with me here? Their statement, isn't this the carpenter's son, isn't incorrect. It's incomplete. But because of their holding on to their incomplete revelation of Jesus, they were unable to walk in the new revelation that he was revealing himself as. And I feel like part of 2020 is this. Jesus, the good Father, revealing himself to us. You know what it's like. We're all that way sometimes. Sometimes we're just like a little baby, and we are unable to do anything but cry sometimes. And our Father knows that, and he comes, and he steps in, and he reveals himself to us. And sometimes, I know, especially when I was a teenager, I would say, what? Jesus, isn't that that guy that my mom prays to? Nope. Isn't that the guy that those weird televangelist people on TV pray? You know what? That's a correct statement. My mom did pray for them, and that televangelist did pray for them. It was an incomplete understanding, and Jesus was trying to reveal himself to me as a father for Joshua, as a provider for Joshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We will not have 2020 vision in this new season if we are holding on to this incomplete understanding of who he is. I love this analogy. I heard this when I was a teenager. And I don't even know if it's factual or not, but it's cool and I like to talk about it. The way they trap monkeys. You've ever seen this monkey trap? The monkey puts its hand into a hole that it can get through this way, and it grabs a banana. But as soon as the monkey makes a fist, he can't get his hand back through the hole. You ever heard about this?
Yes.
And this monkey is so thick-headed, it will get captured before it lets go of the banana. I be doing that with my incomplete understanding of Jesus sometimes. I'm like, no. No, I'm not going. I just got to let it go. It's not wrong. I'm not telling you the banana's wrong, monkey. I'm not telling you that you're not the carpenter's son. That's all true, fine, and good. But there's more to God than the banana you're holding on to. That is so true, right? And it's a bitter, you know what? I was so worried that you guys were going to be like stoning me because this is such a thing. And here you are laughing. Thank you, Jesus. Because this message has been offensive to many people. Because when people hear incomplete, for some reason, it goes incorrect. Oh, and if it was incorrect, then I wasted all those years of my life. And how can I ever trust? No. For the rest of our, there's a reason why for all of eternity, the angels bow down and get up and say, holy, holy, holy. Because for all eternity, they are discovering deeper depths of the love of Jesus. For all of eternity, they are experiencing greater heights of his grace. They are experiencing different sides of his face. And they have made the choice, I guess that they make choices, to never even hold on to a banana. Because they know the limitlessness of Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is inviting his hometown, just like he invites you and I onto that journey. You will never reach the end of who he is. But you will never begin the journey if you've got the banana in your hand and you're stuck. Ah, that is so freeing to me. I got thinking about some of the things in my life where I was learning, I was discovering God. And one of those things was provider. Like I always wanted to know God as provider. But knowing God as provider was a great revelation for a season, but I got stuck there. And I got stuck in the season of always wanting an experience. I was always like excited to get the mail because I was like, all right, God, what kind of check's going to be in the mail today? I got some crazy stories where I needed tires one time. Did I tell you this last time? Anyway, I was in the season, like, God is my provider. God is my provider. I shall not want, right? And I came home one day. I needed tires on my car. It was around Thanksgiving. I was going to do some traveling. And I came home to four $50 bills in the bushes right outside my house. This is a true story. That's like, what? Like, money literally growing on trees. And I'm noting God. You know what? I got stuck there. And I got stuck in this place of always waiting for God to send me an anonymous check always waiting for somebody to come up to me at the service and slip a 20 in my pocket. Get stuck in that place of always looking for God, the provider. And I feel like the Lord is inviting me to another season, but I was holding on to that banana. It's not wrong. It's good. He is your provider. But he was inviting me to learn about him as my provision. Him being my provider was fine and good. And he still is. And he always will be. But then I started to step into God as my provision. And that's a wholly different thing. Instead of waiting to receive the check, I got to write the check. Had I been stuck there, I'd be here 37 years old checking the bushes every time I come home. Instead of now, God, where are we going to go spend your money? You're my provision. I don't care what needs are on the thing. I don't care what the bank account says. You are my provision, and I'm just governing your money. How do you want to see that? In every aspect of your life, you can do that. And it's an invitation. He never demands it. He's a good father. He always invites. He never demands you. He would love me if I was still holding on to that revelation of him as the provider and never grew. He would still love me. But I can tell you this. There's never been $50 in my bushes again since that season. Amen. And I'm glad for that because I get to put $50 in somebody else's bushes. And I don't know what's coming next. It's going to be exciting to see. But that's just a little life example. And I hope that you all can trek with me a little bit. Wherever you're, I don't use the word stuck because stuck connotates something negative. Wherever you are right now, and maybe you have a sense of where God is inviting you to go. Maybe God has come to the hometown of your heart and said, yes, you know me as such and such, but now here I am. And he's unrolling the scroll. And you have a choice. You have a choice. And it's interesting to me, in verse 3, it says, this is not the carpenter's son, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph and Judas and Simon. And are not these his sisters here among us? And then it says this, and they took offense at him. All he was doing was trying to reveal himself to his people. And they took offense. And as I was processing that word, I realized the times in my life where I am most susceptible to becoming offended at God is when he's revealing himself to me in a way I didn't expect or didn't want. I'll say that again because I just feel like there's so much truth in that. The times I am most susceptible to becoming offended at God is when he is revealing himself to me in a way I didn't expect or I didn't want. Think about Pentecost. People were offended and sneering. They were calling those people drunk. They were not expecting that. That looked nothing like what the prophecy in Joel talked about. Look it up. There was this, anyway. It's Jesus himself coming. That looked nothing like the warrior that they thought was coming to kick butt and take names. And as I started digging into this, I started thanking God for every pain and for every struggle that I've gone through because I realized that so often through the battles, he's revealing something to me about himself. I love what Paul said earlier about the well. You know, when Joseph's brothers threw him into a pit, it says, and there was no water in it. And that seemed interesting. A lot of people think it was just a well that they got thrown into. But a well without water is what? A pit. Right? But something happened. Joseph, you know, you've heard the message from the pit to the palace, something like that. And heard Graham Cook say, your pit will become a well when you allow the Holy Spirit to fill it. And I thank God because sometimes I expected a well and I got a pit. And I believe he brought me into that pit. I was into that pit for whatever reason, but the main reason was to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to become a well to others. Didn't expect it, and I can tell you, I didn't want it, and I was a little offended for a while because that was painful. You guys ever been through a painful pit? He's revealing himself in ways that we didn't expect and we didn't want. But you prayed the prayer, and he's a good father, and he's revealing himself. He's answering that prayer. He's faithful. So don't take offense. It's really easy. I see a lot of people getting really offended. The whole, if that's Jesus, the Jesus that they're praying to, I don't want nothing to do with that. That's an offense. They're offended. A wall is up. The carpenter's son. All right. Well, they're cool. Scripture, we're going to look at Mark 9. This is a cool story, the Transfiguration. I was talking with Paul. I was doing some pressure washing over at Paul's house on the last day of 2019. It was like 55 and sunny. I was pressure washing and had like 5 or 10 minutes with Paul before just to talk a little bit. And then he shared this. He's like, yeah, it's kind of the Transfiguration. And then I was like, at first I was like, well, it has nothing to do with my message, dude. And then I'd shoot on it for a little bit. I was like, oh, dude, that's so good. That is so what we do. Let's read about the Transfiguration on Mark chapter 9, verse 2. And then after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a mountain and themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, and no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared with them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is so good we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. For we did not know what to say, and we were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus. This amazing revelation of Jesus is taking place. He has got the bro of all bros in Israel's culture on his left and right. Come on now, these are like the dogs. You're not going to have anybody else better with you than these two guys. And Peter says, let's make a tent. Let's build a structure. Let's put down some sort of foundation right here. Because I don't know what else to do. Like, this is a lot. There's a lot going on right now. And that's what Paul was telling me. He was like, it's our nature to just get something from God and be like, yeah, and then just park it and build a tent and build a shelter and stay there. But how many of you knew there was another hill that Jesus had to climb? And had they built their tent and stayed there, the same mountain that Jesus was transfigured on would have been the end for them. But no, there was another mountain called Golgotha that he had to climb. And as I was studying this is totally cool, and this is more of Bible study than anything else, but I thought it was really beautiful. Think about this. When the mountain Jesus was transfigured on, he had the top of the top, the best of Israel on his left and right. And then the next mountain, he had the worst of the worst on his left and right. You ever think about that? He had like criminals, the lowest of Israel on him. And on this mountain, Peter's saying, oh, it's so good that we're here. On this mountain, Peter denies him 3 times. On this mountain, the voice of God says, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. On this mountain, a centurion soldier says, surely this is the Son of God. Isn't that incredible? Like the symbolism there, the beauty of that. If you get camped here, you get camped on the Mount of Transfiguration, you'll never make it to Golgotha, and you'll never make it to the glorification of Jesus, where we all get redeemed and have life in him. That is just beautiful to me. I never read that story that way until I was studying this out. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't allow Peter to stop and camp there. And I pray that for my life. Like, Jesus, don't allow me to stop and camp at whatever revelation it is. I love it. But I want to be ever progressing. I want to be ever moving forward in my relationship with you. And I can honestly say that was an incredible time. Come on. Moses and Elijah. Crazy lightning. Voice from heaven. Like, if there's anywhere worth camping, that would be the spot. And he's saying, no. There's more to come. Don't allow this to prevent you from the way I'm going to reveal myself on Golgotha. And don't allow all of the offensiveness of Golgotha to prevent you from allowing me to reveal myself to you as the risen Savior of the world. Amen. Don't allow Golgotha to prevent you from being filled with my very spirit. So I just want to, I guess I'll just wrap it all up, sum it all up, maybe put it in a different way. But it is 2020. And I know that this doesn't just apply to 2020. I feel like this message is just as true in 2019. It'll be just as true in 2021. He is revealing himself to us constantly because he is a good father. He's a good savior. Oh, this was good. This was good. When I was hanging out with Brent yesterday, I gave in. Remember earlier, I was like, I couldn't read anymore. So I just gave in. I said, forget it. I can't read anymore. There's no way. I'll get like two words in. And anyway, so I went over to his little thing and I picked him up and just like looked at his face. And I was like, all right, Lord, whatever. I know we're going to do this together anyway. And I just looked at him and I just began to dream, you know, daydream about the way he will get to know me for the rest of his life. And that was just such a sweet moment for me. And then I stopped and had a moment, and I was like, I'm Brennan in your arms. And you're holding me, and you're looking into my eyes, and you're thinking, he's going to get to know me differently for the rest of his life. And he does the same thing for every one of you in this room. The Father holds you as a child and is so excited that you all will get to experience him and know him in a different way. Not a better way, not a righter way, just a more complete way for the rest of your lives. That's just a beautiful picture to me. He's so pleased with you. He's so delighted in you. So, Lord, this year, this day, Lord, we pray the prayer that I know we've prayed 100 times before. Reveal yourself to me, Lord. Give me eyes to see all the unexpected ways that I'm going to see you this year. Give me eyes to see all the ways that you're going to reveal yourself to me that, to be honest, I didn't even want it because it's kind of painful. But I know on the other side of pain is a more complete vision of who you are, and that is priceless. Whether I'm seeing you glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration or I'm getting to know you through the cruel hill of the cross, Lord, in my own life, I invite the revelation of who you are. Yeah, amen. 2020 is going to have some stuff. 2020 is going to have some blessings, and 2020 is going to have some battles. But through every blessing and through every battle, make it your heart's desire to see him more clearly through it, whatever comes your way. I battle with that because I don't like battles. I don't. How many of you all like battles? I'm not like a big battle person. They're like uncomfortable. But the Lord reveals Himself and all those things. I used to pray this way. I used to pray, Lord, let my day be blessed. Lord, let everything go smoothly today. Pray a blessing over my equipment. Pray a blessing over, all the jobs. And I stopped praying that way because I'm like, Lord, I know there's going to be some problems today. But I start out from this really cool place of you work all things together for good, right? For those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I start out my day that way. Like, okay, there's going to be some caca hitting the fan at some point today, I'm sure. And I'm okay with it because I know that you work all things together for good. And I just ask for wisdom and grace to see how to get through those experiences, those pains. Is that cool? I feel like everybody, like I said at the very beginning, 2020 is always like, or a new year is like, oh, it's going to be a year of no pain. No, I pray, Lord, that this year, through it all, we start every day with this understanding that we've already won. And nothing is going to come to you that the Lord can't work together for good. And more often than not, the good that comes out of it is a revelation of Himself. It's not more money in your bank account. Who would rather have a clear revelation of Jesus or more money in your bank account? Don't raise your hands. Come talk to me personally and we'll counsel through that. No. Yeah, I would rather have a clear revelation of who Jesus is through whatever I go through in this life.